What day is today? April 14. There are no accountants in the room. Today, as our beloved Tonto, one of the leaders of our group, said, several of us, quite a few of us, are going to Japan on Thursday. Sorry, you can't hear? Can't hear in the back. I think you control that. He didn't know. Well, sorry, cannot be heard in the back. Hello. Is that better? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. So several of us, quite a few of us, are going to Japan for big ceremonies. And one of the lines in one of our poems that we recite often, that we say often, is to carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. So I'll say something about that in a little while, but this carrying ourselves forward to experience things is kind of one of the things that we do. But the actuality of our life is that things are coming forth and making us, experiencing us. This is the reality. And sometimes that sounds like passivity. To go forward and experience myriad things is to take this life manifestation and do something. But the other way is actually more active. So the dynamo of our experience when everything comes forth to realize ourselves is very active. And it takes tons of practice, tons of awareness to be present for what's actually happening in our life. But first, I'd like to talk about another thing. Mary Carol and I really appreciate Earth Day, which is coming up on April 22nd. Isn't that great? So since many of us will be in Japan, actually in the head temple of Sojiji on the 22nd, she and I agreed that I get to talk about it a little bit today. And she'll talk about it next week on April 21st, the day before Earth Day. So I put a little poster up there with a partial picture of our beautiful planet Earth, but I get to talk about Earth Day. There's another old story of a great Zen teacher who had a lovely temple in the mountains of China. And this lovely Zen teacher took good care of his temple, and it was deep winter. And so through the snow came three visitors because they were forced to stop, actually. So these are three pilgrims who are going around China looking for, carrying themselves forward, you could say, looking for teaching, looking for encouragement in their lives. So these three, who were very accomplished, they'd come from another temple far, far away, but because of the snow and the snowstorm, they had to stop in this temple. So they were sitting around the stove talking with each other and kind of ignoring the teacher there, the Zen master there, because it was a small temple. They didn't know that he was actually a great teacher who'd taken over this small temple, but they were basically ignoring him, which was fine with him, of course. And finally, he kind of broke into the conversation and said, how is Buddhism in the South these days, which is where they'd come from, south part of China. How is Buddhism in the South these days? And one of them said, oh, there's a lot of discussion, as if that were a really good thing. So there's a lot of discussion down there. And Dietzong, his name, said, how does that compare to me here tilling the fields and planting rice? And another one of them, the three, said, but what can you do about the world? And Dietzong said, what do you call the world? And so later, doesn't exactly say how long that was, but maybe the next day or 2 days, the three started to leave to go to their original intended place. But the third one decided to stay behind He said, you know, there's something here for me. And this, what do you call the world, is, you can say it's one of our, it's really a heart teaching of our school and of Buddhism. What do you call the world? And there are, as you know, those of you who have been wading through Zen practice for a long time now, there are lists. So there's another list I'm going to tell you. This is five kinds of eye, five kinds of eyeball, and five kinds of eye. Yeah, it's not even seeing. It's five kinds of eye. Buddhism, Shakyamuni himself and all the Zen people really talk about the eye a lot. And you can think of it as this portal into our being, but it's also, it's so narrow. Do you know, it's like this narrow gateway into our experience. And yet we move it around as if it were seeing the whole thing. But actually it's seeing just a tiny amount. The whole world has to collapse down into this tiny bit of information to make it through our pupil and hit the back of our brain and tell us that we are seeing everything, when actually we're seeing this much of what's going on. And all the rest of it, even this part of it, is invisible. But in order to go forward, we have to think we see more than we actually do. So the five kinds of eye are, one, physical eye, ordinary eye, the one we're used to. Second one is the eye of devas, who are spirits and goddesses of locations. And they have kind of paranormal vision. They can see radiance and things. They can see, I suppose we would say, auras. They see things beyond what the ordinary eye sees. We'll skip past devas. Okay. The third one is wisdom eye. And the wisdom eye is the eye that sees interconnectedness, that sees emptiness, that sees this nature of reality beyond our sense of being a separate self going forward and experiencing things. It sees, it's a glimpse of that things are coming forth and experiencing here. So that's the wisdom eye. The fourth eye is called Dharma eye. Dharma eye. And this is the vision of bodhisattvas, advanced bodhisattvas. They see Dharma. They see the teaching. When you look around with the Dharma eye, you see the teaching of all things. You might see that grasses, trees, walls, tiles, and pebbles are teaching. That's the Dharma eye. And then a fifth eye is called Buddha eye, and that's the eye of omniscience that sees all those things of the first four eyes, but also sees the karma that brought us to this and the karma of where it's going. So that's Buddha eye. So when we think about Earth Day, which eye do we see the earth with? Which eye do we see the situation that we're in with? It's kind of a big question. And can I tell you a little about the history of Earth Day? Because actually some of us have been alive since Earth Day came to be, but a whole bunch of you have not. So, Earth Day is really important because it shows the accumulated wisdom of people, for instance. And there was awareness of the earth, of course, for thousands of years, awareness of earth and awareness of the importance of us taking care of it and seeing its relation to us. That's in all these ancient Zen teachings. All the ancient Zen teachings see the wisdom that the earth is trying to share with us. The flowers, the trees, the sky, all these things are speaking to us. And then, you know, we have a lot to pay attention to. So paying attention to the earth and our impact on it, it's a hard job. But people were paying attention in everywhere, but in the United States, and noticing that things were harmful. We have to do something about this. So there was attention paid, great books were written. But then a big disaster happened. And as a result of that big disaster, people said, we've got to do something about this. And so a few more steps, and then Earth Day was established. And the biggest outpouring of participation in the history of our country happened. More than 20 million people came out in the streets on the first Earth Day. And it was joyous, actually. Isn't that amazing? So 1970 was the first Earth Day, 20 million people. They had to shut down New York because all these people were out in the streets celebrating the Earth. So with which eye do we look at it? And the disaster that sort of turned the tide, as it were, on taking care of the Earth, feeling our responsibility for the Earth, happened in California. And you know what it's like when we experience a disaster together, there's something bonding. It kind of breaks down the barriers between us. So all of us having experienced Harvey, we were bonded. This whole town, this millions of people were bonded because we experienced Harvey together. And that's what happened after this disaster. So what had happened was in California, an oil well blew out, and a tanker blew out, and a lot of oil got spilled, lots of creatures were harmed, and I was in high school at the time, living very close. It happened off the coast of Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. and I lived just north of there. I have cousins who lived and still live in Santa Barbara, and I have to say, my experience was, as a high schooler, up till that time, we were actually very accustomed to oil being on the beach. We're actually really used to it because, you know, oil tankers go out, they have these accidents, they spill things. And so we would have to just be aware that there's oil on the beach. Okay, walk around that. It's part of growing up. And then finally, people said, you know, this isn't exactly right. There shouldn't be oil on the beach that the birds have to step in. So the cleanup of that incredible event caused people to say, we have to do something about this. So again, I usually don't like to talk about disasters here because it's a lot to deal with. But in the context of which eye we see things with, it's actually really useful. It's a useful tool to look at it with. A Dharma eye gives us access to all the wisdom and the shared experience of our world. We had to learn from that experience in order to start paying attention to our impact. Isn't that true? Don't you have that feeling? We have to wake up through these really difficult learnings. And so now things have changed. And there's much more attention being paid. Another really amazing thing about Earth Day, there are several things. Can I tell you? You know, this is me geeking out on things, but several amazing things. One is that the underwriter of the first Earth Day, all the things that had to be printed and announced, you know, pre-internet, definitely, large full-page ads and all the newspapers and so on. The underwriter of that was United Auto Workers, Walter Reuther, who was a real strong social activist. Yeah, he really cared. You know, the birth of the... Okay, I'm going to do it. The birth of... the birth of the United Auto Workers and all unions comes from the understanding that you alone can't go and negotiate with Henry Ford. You know, you alone, he's not going to pay attention to you. But if you get everybody in this room who's working on an assembly line with no bathroom breaks, maybe he'll listen to you. So that's the birth of unions. It's like you can't do it alone. And the United Auto Workers was definitely, you know, a wholesome organization for a long time. It is, however, made of humans, so it has problems and some corruption and all that sort of thing. But the origin of collective bargaining is 100% wholesome. So that's it's just amazing, isn't it? That the United Auto Workers underwrote the first Earth Day. Yeah. I love that. Another fact is that the original name was going to be Environmental Teach-In. So don't you just want to go home now? And they had this tiny office in New York, and they were going to do another teach-in. There were a lot of teach-ins back then. And then you have to go and you have to debate and have a teaching. And they realized that they couldn't have somebody who would, one person would argue for Earth Day. They couldn't find somebody who would argue for pollution. So the teach-in didn't feel right. And this really important at that time, advertising executive in New York, advertising creative director came in to help. He said, can I help in some way? So he created a lot of beautiful images, like the way we have Jim Tebow, who makes images for us. He said, can I help you with your graphics, please? So this guy named, his last name is Koenig. His first name is, right now it's gone from my head, but he'd done a lot of important advertising, but he said, he presented several things that weren't environmental teach-in, but one was Earth Day, one of them, and April 22nd is his birthday. So he liked that because it was on his birthday, and Earth Day rhymes with birthday. That's why we have Earth Day. <'Cause it's> But it's actually, it resonates with all of our birthdays. It's our Earth. We're walking around. We are the Earth walking around. We are 55 to 60% water walking around. We are water and salt and minerals made up of the Earth and walking around. So the Earth is us. And the Earth made these eyes that look back at the Earth. This is our responsibility. So again, we're going to go to, several of us will go to a different culture soon. And are we going to carry ourselves forward into this culture? Can we move into it and let this culture realize us in this dynamic way? It's going to be possible. Yes, it's going to be possible. And here, out at the land, Royce is out at the land right now, and there are a bunch of people out there retreating. It's really beautiful out on our land. It's green. And guess what's all over our green land? Exactly right. So Dogen Zenji said, blue bonnets are see the world. Actually, he said plum blossoms, but but I think it's the same for us. Blue bonnets are an ephemeral, beautiful harbinger of a change in season, don't you think? There's not snow. Plum blossoms bloom in the snow, and therefore they're the herald of spring. But our blue bonnets bloom in the most challenging environments, on the side of the road, out in our parking lot. They just come up and say, I'm here. I'm here. I'm teaching you. I'm willing to teach you what the meaning of life is, this blue bonnet. When we go to Aheiji, the other head temple where Dogen was when he talked about various things like plum blossoms, there are trees there, giant cedar trees, some of them more than 600 years old. And these trees, like our oak trees out here, partake, as Dogen Zenji said, of both heaven and earth. Our trees live in both heaven and earth and demonstrate it to us all the time. So when we have Earth Day celebration next week, led by Mary Carroll, we'll continue with this discussion of our rootedness in the earth and our earthness. This is earth walking around. So back to Dietzong. There's a lot of discussion, and how does that compare to us taking care of our daily life? Dietzong said, student said, but what can you do about the world? And Dietzong said, what do you call the world? So thank you very much.